Hey, welcome back to another episode of What Does the Book Say with my brothers Jason, Nate, and Alex.
Hello, my brothers and sisters.
And I want to address something. We have a brother Daniel right now, and he's taking a sabbatical, so we hope that he gets rested and everything while he's on his little sabbatical, and hopefully he'll come back soon to us, and we pray for you, and we love you, brother, and just take care of yourself. We love you. Now we had decided to talk about free will. Alex brought it up in another podcast of ours, but it really is something what free will is. It's a choice. Everybody thinks it's a choice to take good and evil, or God or the devil, or it's my free will to take this one. And it's not. If you dive into scripture, free will is your ability to choose the death, burial, and resurrection, or not choose the death, burial, and resurrection. To have a grievance against God, or not have a grievance against God. That's what free will is. It's basically, are you going to be disobedient to God or not disobedient to God? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we do have that free will. We can either accept God or not accept God.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. What do you think, Nate? What do you think defines in your vestige, in your mind, if you had to put a look upon free will, what would you think it would look like?
You can do whatever you want, and it's your life to live it, but if it doesn't line up with God, you can go ahead and do whatever the devil wants you to do, but when it comes judgment day, all that free will that you have sinned against God is going to come back on you. That is how I see it.
Okay. How about you, Alex? What do you think is free will?
Choose to do what's right or what's wrong. And that's kind of the reason in the first place, or should I say as part of our punishment, for it to be a good thing. It's often not, because instinctively we're supposed to follow God and heed his teachings and thrive to be like him and his ways. And I just think free will, the fact that we have free will, gives us a step back from him in a lot of ways, because it seems easier to misuse our free will rather than to use it for the purposes that God wants us to.
I can't argue with any of that. Let's go back to the beginning when Eve was talking to the serpent, and we've had many conversations about this. Obviously, Eve and the devil have had many conversations. She's not screaming, running, looking for Adam and saying, look, this thing is talking to me. I am scared, because I'll tell you what. If a man was outside and a big hairy boa constrictor got up and started talking to him, that man would know terror. He would literally know terror. And he would run. I don't care how big, how tough, whatever he's going to be, he would know absolute horror. I would.
Oh, definitely.
So, obviously, they've had to have a conversation before. Obviously, they've conversed, because it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, obviously, they're talking. And he goes, oh, you know, they're talking about the garden. And the serpent asks her about the tree. And what does she know of it? And Eve writes, but of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, didn't God say, ye shall not touch or eat, or so you shall surely die? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that once you eat of their fruit, your eyes will be opened. Okay? And so, she, in disobedience, did it. She bit it. That was the first form of disobedience that a human being made towards God.
Yes, in the first misuse of that will.
That will. That's what separated our spirit from God. That's what they mean by surely die. No, maybe the body didn't die for a long time, but that spirit side, his spiritual nature, his spirit wanting to align with God and have fellowship with God was cut off. Cut off, I mean, and so now institutes all the blood where there, if there's no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is the first known of sin. And I really would like to know the conversation she had with Adam, how he, I mean, I guarantee he just didn't come up and take the apple and bit it. It just doesn't make sense. They had to have a conversation about it. She must have blackmailed him or did something because now she has that cunning nature to her, right?
That's right.
Because Adam does tell God. She did it. And when they're looking for clothes and stuff to sew, they're not talking about their nakedness in the flesh nakedness. They were trying to figure out how they could cover the soul that they lost. That spiritual side of it. You know, what do we do? How do we fix this? We made a big mistake. I mean, just think of it. It just, it, to me, it, you're walking with the creator of the heavens themselves. And you, he just asked you to do one thing. One thing.
And you went and got messed it up.
And they messed it up. It just floors me. But God, being grace, being full of love, being who he is, institutes a way for us to come back into fellowship with him. What was lost can be found, because now everything that is born on this planet, every person's born, their spirit is mortgaged in Satan's pawn shop. It really is, if you think about it. That's why Christ had to go to the cross, had to die, had to pay that price to mortgage our souls out of that, you know, as Paul puts it, the slave market of Satan. Isn't that what he says, Jason? It's the slave market of Satan, and God bonds us out, basically, with his blood?
Yes. Yep. With his blood, he bonds us out, and he takes that mortgage soul, and he takes it with him.
And it goes in to say, now we are a new creature. Why are we a new creature? Because now we are got our spirit back. Now we can have fellowship with the Creator. I still say that unless you don't have that spirit side back with you, there's no way you can have fellowship with God. That's why the book doesn't open up to non-believers. That's why people who are quote-unquote, oh, I'm religious, they can't have fellowship with God. That's why works cannot get you back your spirit. There is no blood there to get it back. The law couldn't get your spirit back. It tell you, it's the one that condemns you to tell you your spirit is gone and we're going to keep pounding you. I don't know. That's just my take on it. And I don't know. Just goes back to show you. And then
it just flows together so perfectly, though.
It ducktails, doesn't it?
You're thinking about that because, I mean, again, you know, I have shown, people the gospel, and I've asked them to read it, and I've asked them, what does that mean to you? And they say, it means nothing. I don't understand it. So that falls in place on what you were saying. Is just that they don't have that spirit, and then they don't have that soul because they can't understand it. I mean, the person that it fits so perfectly. I mean, I think about the people that I have given and read the gospel to, presented it to them, and they say it means nothing. They cannot understand it. And I'm like, how? How can you not understand it? It's not. It's just sentence, you know? And I said, it's plain English. And then they say to me, I don't understand it. But that just goes perfectly what you are saying, Ken, about, you know, they can have that spirit in them, then they don't have their soul back. Because, I mean, it's so simple.
I think
and,
so.
And they have no clue on what it means. It means nothing to them.
Well, and it goes back to that, it, like it says in 1 Corinthians, and it says, God be thankful that ye were servants of sin, which we were. We took our free will, and now we're servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which you were delivered from, being then made free, like our free will, from sin, because we believed God freely, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh, as you now yield your members to your servant to uncleanness. And that's what we were. We were unclean. We were biased. We were God haters. I know I was.
I was too. Same with me.
Same here.
And it go, and then you go into Ephesians, and it says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That means our good works. Our good works goes towards God, not man. That's why Paul can say that, you know, it says, you guys are not evil eye servants of man pleasers. We're not man pleasers anymore. We want to get those people that God has already predestinated, that they hear the gospel and they believe. Because it goes on saying, knowing that whoever good things any man doeth, the same shall be he received from the Lord, wherever he be bond or free, and your masters do the same. Which means that what Paul's writing is, that whenever we do good for God, God counts that as righteousness for us, lays up those crowns in heaven for our reward, because we don't get him here, but we do get those rewards up in heaven. So it's not going around keeping the law, tithing, baptism, telling, door knocking, going, you're going to hell if you're not one part of the 144,000. We can't do that. We cannot convert somebody who God has not opened their heart. It's impossible.
You know, it sucks because, you know, like I've played bands and stuff like that, and I had a pagan for a vocalist or a little last part of the band's life and stuff like that. And he always questioned me being Christian and stuff like that. And I was like, it's just something I believe and I have full faith in God. I have faith in Jesus. That's all I need.
That's it.
And he always asked me and tried to understand it. And when I go over everything about it, and forgiveness and having faith and stuff like that, and he just could not grasp the idea of forgiving people and having faith in someone who I've never met in my life. But in my heart, what I know is Christ is with me all the time. Same with God. They're always with me, regardless of what's going on.
They're the triune God, Nathan. They're the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They're all one, in one, all one. And what happens is that once you receive that spirit, that's why Paul says, did you receive the spirit of sin? No, you received the spirit of adoption. After we get that spirit of adoption, that's why Paul keeps hammering us and saying that we're not under sin, we're under grace, because it also says, let me see here. Grace be to you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that we might deliver us from that present evil world according to the free will. And I'm adding that free to it because it is God's free gift. And I'm not doing any violence to scripture into saying that. And it is God's free will who gave it willingly to us. He gave it willingly. All we have to do is accept it, believe it, and validate it. And that goes back to our free will, right, Alex? I mean, you wanted to do this subject on free will. What do you think about after we get that spirit of adoption where God gives us back our spirit, he counts us justified, he pays for our sins, and we try to walk that walk, right?
Right. We're made whole again.
Well, the devil's going to tempt all of us. We know that. We are going to cuss. Listen, I want to touch on something with this free will stuff. Free will makes me not want to cheat on my wife. God, the Spirit, puts into me, there's that line, don't do it. Now, I'm choosing God over my earthly urges, right?
Right.
God comes in, says, don't covet your neighbor's new car, even though you'd like to take it. Just don't do that. Our free will sits there and accepts God and says, I'm not going to do it.
Yes, absolutely. And those are the benefits to following God's word and doing what is required of us, because we've already seen how free will placed in the hands of Adam and Eve turned by straying from the path of what God wanted us to do. So the benefits are tremendous with sticking with what God wants us to do and never losing sight of that, no matter how much we may be discouraged.
Well, I go back to the moment after Eve sinned, how God told her, not only are you going to have sorrow, and you're going to have problems with childbirth. That sorrow stuck with me because I always thought about, oh, you know what? It's her kids being taken away. The sorrow is her spirit is no longer hers anymore. That's the sorrow. We missed it. She can't have fellowship with God anymore. She can't walk in the cool day with him. She can't hold his hand anymore. She can't sit in his love anymore. It was only when Christ came, did that cross, paid for our sins, that we're allowed to even have that anymore, guys. That's deep.
That's very deep. Very, very deep.
And Nate even touched about it, where he's in his band. He has a pagan vocalist. He's trying to share the gospel because he wants his friend to be saved, because obviously they're kind of friends or acquaintances, because you wouldn't let somebody like that into your band if you didn't have a good vibe about him. Maybe he's good. Maybe he do. But he's missing that part where he's trying to understand what Nate's saying, but he doesn't get it because he's still blinded by the God of this world. How could he be blinded by the God of this world if the God of this world doesn't have his spirit?
Good point.
Wow. That just really blows my mind. Yes, to think that is what a epiphany.
We've never put it together before. I mean, thank you. You know what, Alex? Thank you for making a study on this subject, because we have never thought about this before, and I've always prided myself on trying to understand the Bible and stuff, but this just shows us, gentlemen, that we thought we were in the deep waters before. We were still in the kiddie pool.
Right. Yes, thanks, Brother Alex. Yeah, that's really on another level to think about.
Well, yeah.
That's why I was saying that we're all connected like a leaf on a branch and a branch on a tree. What one of us does is going to always affect the other. Therefore, it's much that we can learn from each other.
Right.
Amen to that.
Well, do you have your Bible with you, Matthew? Nate?
I have it on my phone.
Okay. I just have something that I want to touch on. Because we said this we were saying this before the podcast about it. And let's see. Try Matthew 4, verse 8.
All right, got it.
Okay, read it. Read it until verse 11. Stop at verse 11.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all those things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy glory, and him only shalt thou serve.
Okay. He says that that's it. And he says that he took him into the exceedingly high mountain and said, I can give you these things. Once again, how could he offer God himself this stuff if they weren't his to give? He has their spirit. He has it already. And it's only through worshiping God. How do we worship God? How do we show that? It is affirmed through the death, burial, and resurrection. That's how we worship God. This is how we worship God. Talking about him, having fellowship, not going to a brick and mortar ecclesia, but having this podcast, having our conversations on the phone where all three of us will talk, or all four of us will talk, you know, getting it. Because we would not have even thought about this deep water, about how could he do with the spirit, and he blinds them because they're his to blind. It's, you know, it's like you taking your kid and pushing them behind you when you think there's a car accident because you don't want them to see it. That's what Satan does to non-believers. Absolutely. Because they're his. And we would not ever get into these deep things unless we have fellowship, true fellowship, not somebody yelling at you saying you're going to burn in hell, but true fellowship, right?
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a crazy thing. You know, I always went to church when I was younger and stuff like that through my teen years. And I always had someone to kind of a Pentecostal style church. And there was always say, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell. And that turned me away from God, because that didn't sit right. I feel like that should be your main point, is saying you're going to go to hell without the actual, you giving reason and going into detail on not believing in Christ, dying for your sins, and the resurrection as well.
Right.
And that's what turned me away from God when I was a teenager.
Well, how many sermons have you ever heard that come from Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So
you rarely hear that at a service.
You never hear it, because they're not there to give you the word of God. See, they tell you to read it on your own. They tell you to go there. But there's always been something in me, and me and Alex touched on it, where I've always said, take the Bible that you want the passages, and I've told you, Nate, read it out loud to yourself, correct? Read it out loud. That way you hear the words. The reason why is because you can read it in your head, and the brain, for some reason, likes to put in words, or you know the words, and it makes you skip. But when you actually read it, like read it for yourself, something comes out of it, because that's what it says. It's by hearing the word of God. That way you can hear God. It makes so much sense. And you can't hear God unless you get your spirit back. I mean, it's all making sense, guys. And the word of God always makes sense. You have the non-believers sitting there and telling you, oh, you know, the Bible's contradiction. Don't you see? It says right here that, you know, you got to work for your, you got to work. And then over here it says you're saved by grace. And, you know, it's always contradictory. No, it's because it's a change in the program. There's a fork in the road.
And that's exactly why, you should read it yourself. Because that's true, the Bible, that book, yes, it's written by man, a lot of it is. And a lot of the words are from God himself. That's why it's important to read it yourself, so you can decipher the truth.
And you can have that one-on-one relationship with the Creator and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. And that's why I think God, Christ says that fellowship is so important, because we do have these conversations. We're not being preached to by somebody who, just by our conversation that one time, remember, Alex, where it's, you know, 1/10 of 1/100 of a billionth percent?
Yes.
How could that person ever, you know that he's in God's realm? I mean, we did the calculations before, and I hate to tell everybody, but in America, there's less than 300,000 true believers just by God's lock. And we'll do a podcast on that one day. I think it's very important to do the doctrine of the remnant. But to go into a brick and mortar and have somebody preach to you, we're not preachers, we're ambassadors. We convey, we show, we want that dialogue. See, when a guy's behind a pulpit and you're in a pew, there is no dialogue. There's no fellowship. He's telling you you should feel guilty for something.
It's interesting that you just said that, because at this exact moment, I felt the conviction. I was raised in a church, brought up in a church. All my life, my mother kept me there. But the podcast, my brothers and our listeners out there, I feel more conviction sharing this personal fellowship, talking one-on-one with each other and listening one-on-one with each other than I do sitting in a crowded building. It doesn't feel personal and up close in a building with a lot of people. But this, I feel more conviction just in this one podcast that we're doing than I have my whole lifetime inside of a church.
You know what, Alex? That was Amen. So beautiful. Amen. And I think that's the beauty of the body of Christ, that we are placed into it. We are immersed in it. We are positioned in it to the where we do have this fellowship. We do have this love. When we talk and we do this, there's no leader here. There's no underling. There's no, like Paul says, slave and master and bond and free. That's why we can all be one. If we're all one, yes, there is no Lord except for our Lord Jesus Christ,
who loves us equally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just goes to show us that that love was so great and so strong that when he went down to hell and took our soul and mortgaged it back and gave it to us, we became as what Adam was, a living being now. And that's why we're the new creature. We have God's breath in us now. That's why our walk has to be an inspiration to others. That's why we have to choose. We're going to sin. But we have to choose the sin in which is the least that we can bear, right?
Right.
We know we're forgiven, but it's our conscience that makes us feel guilty.
Yes, and God doesn't give up on us, so we shouldn't give up on ourselves or each other.
Right.
After all, he is the ultimate teacher.
Absolutely.
One teacher that matters. One teacher that's never wrong.
and always has our best interest at heart. Even though we may go through trials and tribulations, but they're only to bring us closer to Him.
And to be one with Him. That's the goal. It's not to show off His might. I think that's why it goes back to why God's meek. He doesn't have to. Therefore, we don't have to.
Right.
And that's our free will exercising that ability not to be the heavy hammer, right? To go in maybe with a feather and not a hammer. Go in with a hug and a kiss instead of a punch in a knee.
Right.
But that also should show us that God gave something to us that was so intrinsically valuable. That's why He says that we are His peculiar treasure. It's so intrinsic. Because now the true body of Christ people have that spirit back where now we can communicate with Him in a way. And I think that's why Paul can write in Hebrews that we can go into the throne room itself with our prayers. Because we do have that spirit, which is like a megaphone. And that's deep, guys.
Yes, it is. And that gift that you speak of, that God has gave us, our imperfectness makes us believe that gift is too good to be true. But my brothers and sisters out there that's listening, and my brothers is here with me, trust me when I tell you, God gave you that gift because you are worthy of it. So don't never think that you're not worthy because you're not perfect. And Jesus Christ Himself, it was worth dying for. We were worth dying for. So please don't never think you're not worthy and that gift is too good to be true. Just accept it because you are worth it.
And I think that goes back to show you that if He did it all, there's no reason to feel guilty over it, right?
Right.
If He did it for us because He loved us, that should show us that monumental gift that He is, take it, it's free to give. Well, what is the gift? That spirit back to where we can have fellowship with Him. That's why God does not hear an unbeliever. That's why God can call them an enemy. Because think about that. We talked about this two podcasts ago, I think, Alex. Think about that price that His flesh and the flesh took and His spirit took. That huge price. And He's still, like Noah, keeping that ark door open. Anybody can come in and be saved for free. No mission.
Yes, no matter what you've done or what you're even doing.
Right.
God knew all of that was going to happen with you, and yet and still, he gives you that gift because He knows we have a chance through Him.
Right. And we're redeemed through love and His blood.
Yes.
And His cross. So, this was an excellent podcast, Alex. I once again thank you for bringing it up because it touched on some deep water that we all read it and all got it. But this is how we know we are connected to the Holy Spirit, because He keeps opening up these, like Paul says, revelation of the mysteries. And that's right, how we know we are connected to Him.
Right, because even when I brought this podcast on free will love, I did have thoughts about it that I wasn't thinking until we actually started talking about it. So you're right. God does keep opening our eyes further and more and more. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It really is.
Just like an old Bible teacher of ours, Les Felderick, right, Jason, where he said that you can spend 10,000 plus 10,000 lifetimes and you'll never discern every tidbit of information that God has given us.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. In our lifetime, we will just have scratched the surface.
Jason and I are not braggarts, Alex not braggarts, and he's not a braggart. But between all four of us, we can discern a lot. But I'm telling you, what we can discern out of the Bible to God wouldn't even fill up a thimble. and you're trying to drain the ocean with that thimble. That's the way I get it in my head.
Makes sense.
So, thanks again, listeners, for listening. I think we're going to try to get a podcast or maybe two every week now. We're going to start rolling with this a little bit heavier handed, I think. I want to thank my brothers here for faith, for loving me, for supporting me with their love and their prayers and the conversations, because if we didn't have that fellowship, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast. We wouldn't be able to discern God's word.
Amen.
Amen. It's all because of him.
It's all because of him. He gets the glory. He gets the credit. He's the one that waters. He's the one that plants us. He's the one that's going to open your heart to this. We don't gain anything out of it except for the knowledge that somebody's listening who might need this. Because there's a reason why we're doing this podcast today for this subject for you. For you. So thank you. And with closing, you wanna close us out today, Nate?
With prayer?
Yeah.
Of course. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you have given us. My brothers here, all the brothers and sisters that are listening in right now. And thank you so much for allowing us to wake up another day and bask in the great glory that you've given us. Thank you for sending your son go ahead and die on a cross and cleanse our sins with his blood. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. And I'd like to add on to that. I hope that God blesses my brothers, heals them, protects them. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. And thank you for listening. And I think we are out, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, guys. God bless.